And yes, I'm going to talk about the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony on Thanksgiving. I'm addressing my fellow gluttons. Those of you who are skinny, God bless you. We're proud of you. We're happy for you. Stay that way. But I have to address my fellow gluttons and myself today on Thanksgiving. Some of us have come off of a 21-day fast. We feel better. We look better. I was in Walmart the other night, and women were walking me down, and I had to escape three times. I was looking so good, evidently, not to myself, but to others. But be that as it may, we thank God. And I tell you one thing about it, that 21-day fast and fasting for this purpose has had an impact on me, not only physically, but also mentally. It has done something to me in light of the sin of gluttony. Food is not that important to me as it was before. And I think that some of you are experiencing the same thing. You say, well, preacher, have you eaten anything since the fast ended? And yes, I have. I've had, the first thing I ate was salad, and then I ate some salmon, some fish, and that was the first, that's how I broke my fast, in the wee hours of the morning on the 22nd day. And since then, we've had our traditional bacon-wrapped turkey, and my oldest two daughters just outdid themselves. They brought so much food and brought so much food. I asked them to make sure they take some back, and they bought my favorite, and they bought me a T-bone steak, and that's already in the oven, and I'll be eating that soon after this service today. And so I'm enjoying that, but you know what? I'm enjoying it, but I have no desire to overeat like I used to. And my doctor just they did some blood work on me, and they said all my numbers are good. They called my daughter. I don't know why they called my daughter. They have her number, my oldest daughter, Danny, and gave, they're not supposed to be giving out my information, but they gave my information to my oldest daughter. Said all my numbers look good, but they still, but my doctor still wants me to take the medication regarding the sugar. I don't know if I'm going to be obedient to him or not, but I thank God for him. He's a Christian brother. But be that as it all may, please turn in your Bibles, and we want to help you on Thanksgiving in case some of you are still tempted to overindulge. Not only today, because most gluttons like me, we don't just see Thanksgiving as the day. It's a season. Thanksgiving is a season. It starts on November the 1st and does not end until January the 10th. It's a wonderful time of the year, no doubt. But I want to talk with you briefly about the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, number 42. And I thank God that all of my family are not gluttons. They're all skinny. And they act like they will eat a whole lot, but they don't eat much. And I thank God they're not taking after me. And we thank God for his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. Write that down and fix it. Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And basically, I'm just picking up where I left off before the fast. During the 21-day fast, I did everything I could to encourage you during that difficult, dark season of fasting. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" That's what they were concerned about, flesh to eat. And like most gluttons, they said in verse 5, "We remember." See, people who are at a normal weight and who eat like they're supposed to, they rarely remember a meal. But gluttons can remember a meal 20 years ago. They can remember where they ate it, who they ate it with. They can remember the taste of the food. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers. They fell a-lusting after these things now. So you know they're wrong. They got the wrong attitude towards food. The cucumbers and the melons. See how they can name things? They remember it. And the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And those of us who struggle with the sin of gluttony, we got to have the onions and the garlic in the food. And my daughters, they bought just some of everything. I guess they just went down every aisle and just picked up stuff. And picked everything I like. And they even bought the onion powder and the garlic powder. We've got to have it for stuff to be right. But now our soul is dried away. This is how gluttons feel when they can't have what they want. They have food, and to use the word of my wife from Jamaica, in the cupboard, or whatever you call it, the cupboard, or whatever it is. I've been telling her for 30 years it's the cabinet, but she still talks about the cupboard like she's in a fairy tale or something. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. See, they had something to eat. But people who struggle with the sin of gluttony, they're not satisfied with something to eat. They want special things that they like so much that they will eat, they will overeat. Don't tell me about it, because I know. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and your grace. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you once again for allowing us to see another beautiful Thanksgiving day. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. And we thank you for the millions and manifold blessings you have bestowed upon us. And Lord, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I cannot imagine a family being more blessed than this family. And I know you've blessed many families down through the years. We individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive others. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us as your Christian people with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit, and help us all to be rapture ready. Help none of us, Lord, help all of us, rather, to not be so tethered to this world that we're not ready to go in the twinkling of an eye. And Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts. He's already fighting against us in every possible way to try to hinder your word from going forward, even on Thanksgiving. Lord, bless all other services that are worshiping you today, people who are worshiping you today. Thank you for the great services last night all across this country. And we thank you, Lord, for those churches that did not choose to do that. They let the people go home early and prepare food and so forth. Lord, and they're praising you in their way. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor on this Thanksgiving. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us a mind to start the breaking of the stranglehold and the stronghold, and the breaking of every chain in our lives regarding the sin of gluttony in the church. For it is at epidemic proportions. And you're not pleased, even though you've been very gracious and very patient with us. You want it changed. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, you're changing it. And I'm amazed at what you have done and what you're doing. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Save that soul that's near as hell. And revive every Christian. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Bring that timepiece in. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Krismeyer wrote, "Maybe it's easier to see gluttony as evil when there's not enough to go around." But feasting has become an American pastime, only matched by our obsession with dieting. And where would one be without the other? Abundance has become less a cause for thanksgiving as a challenge to consume as much as possible. My God, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, according to ABC News, wider waistbands seem to widen the pay gap. Oh, yes. You say, "Preacher, how dare you preach to us today on Thanksgiving when you know we're going to pig out?" No, you don't have to pig out. You can enjoy this Thanksgiving without overdoing it. One George Washington University School of Public Health study found a strong connection between greater obesity and shrinking wages. Let me just hip you to something. Let me just be real with you, folks. If you're black, even in this day and time, it is true that you may not get the job. If you are brown, you're Hispanic, it is true, depending on what part of the country it is, for black and brown, you may not get the job even though you're qualified. If you are a man, you might not get the job. If you are a woman, you might not get the job. In some cases nowadays, if you're white, you might not get the job. And as they used to say back in the 60s, if you're black, stay back. If you're brown, stick around. If you're white, you're all right. That's what they used to say. I hope that's not the case today. But let me tell you something, dear friends. See, if you're not, if you are of a certain age and you are a man, and if you're 30 and you're a man, I would not even hire you if you're not married. I wouldn't mind hiring young ladies, because young ladies, they can't find good men, I understand. But if you're a man, you're going to have some problems with me. You don't have a wife or a girlfriend or something. You say, that's not fair. I know, but that's how I feel about it. And not only that, but I want to get back to the issue at hand. I said all of that to say this. Dear friends, I don't care if you're black, white, red, or yellow. Folks are going to have some problems with that, because they see that as something that you can control if you wanted to. So don't get mad if people don't hire you and you weigh 400 pounds. This is the reality, my beloved. And they're looking at their insurance policy as well. They're looking at the health insurance that they will provide for you and how it will go up. This is why many jobs provide gyms. They provide healthy food on the job and all of that kind of thing, because they want you to stay healthy. They're also looking at their bottom line. They need for you to work 5 days a week, and they cannot afford for you to be sick every week because of obesity. Don't you get mad with me. That's the reality. So, oh, look at this preacher. Oh, my. On Thanksgiving, he's preaching on this. That's right. I'm trying to help you before you sit down and pig out. I hate to use the word pig out, because my baby daughter, she loves little pigs and piglets and things like that. I try not to use that, but you understand that language. So the quote goes on, examining data from the 2004 National Longitudinal Survey of Youth, the researchers discovered that wages among the obese were nearly $9,000 less for females and nearly $5,000 lower for males. Don't get mad. Confess your sin of gluttony. Repent of it. Stop eating so much and stop eating a whole bunch of junk and then justifying it and accommodating it and lying about it. Talking about it's your thyroid. You don't even know what your thyroid is. You don't even know where it is. Talking about your thyroid. It's those thighs, chicken thighs, that you're getting ready to eat. And don't you get mad with me. You know I'm right about it. When they see you, listen to me very carefully. When they see you coming, they're making a judgment about you. Many different things they're saying in their minds. Skinny people who oftentimes walk fast, when they're walking past you, they've made 30 judgments about you in a hurry, out as they go out the door. Compared, back to the quote, compared with their thinner counterparts, end of quote. So, beloved, this is, as I've shared with you before, and I have not said this in 21 days because I've been encouraging you to fast and encouraging you during the fast. This is an uncomfortable subject for many of us. And particularly, I'm sure, on Thanksgiving. But if you listen and take heed, this particular series can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. The mixed multitude stirred the waters of discontent among the children of Israel, and they all began expressing that they were tired of the manna. They were tired of the beans and rice, if you will, the plain food, the regular daily food that God had been giving them, and wanted some meat to eat, like they used to have when they were in slavery. This passage, ladies and gentlemen, gives more insight on the nature of the manna with these words. The manna was as coriander seed, the seed from which come cilantro and parsley, and the color thereof as the color of delium, a fragrant, transparent, precious stone. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. So, beloved, we see here that the children of Israel had learned to make do with the manna. It may not have been what they wanted or what they had gotten used to in Egypt, but it was all they needed. And let me say here, beloved, that the last thing gluttons want is that which is good for them, such as salad. We don't want to eat salad every day, but we should. Vegetables. Oh, no. No. Broccoli. Squash. Okra. Stuff like that. That's what our doctors tell us to eat, and we don't want that. No matter how, particularly if it does not have any pork in it. That's what we need. God had provided for his people what they needed. They had learned to make different types of foods out of manna. But like us, they were not content with their needs being supplied. They desired something more, something different. Now, today you're going to eat, like me, some turkey, steak, and you should. This is a day to kill the fatted calf. Just enjoy yourself. Some of you will have some Boston butt. You shouldn't, but you will. You're going to get your, you know how you say it. Well, I don't need it, but I'll take a little slice. You're going to have some bacon in that green bean casserole, or some sausage that has some pork in it. You know it's going to raise your blood pressure slightly, but you know, just a little bit. It's okay. It's okay. Enjoy yourself. Just don't overindulge. Don't overdo it. Don't load that plate up like you used to. Believe it or not, by the grace of God, I had my favorite turkey. We have it every year, bacon-wrapped turkey. It's a tradition in our family. And I just had the middle. Normally, I have the whole plate filled. Listen to me and listen to me carefully. I lie not. My family knows I'm telling the truth. I'll have the whole plate filled up just with the turkey and a little rice, little vegetables, whole lot of that juice and gravy from that bacon-wrapped turkey. Are you kidding me? That has sausage in it and bacon. Are you kidding me? Oh, but I didn't. By the grace of God, I don't know why. I don't know how God did it, but last night I just had the middle portion of the plate filled. And I was content. I was happy. My wife, sticking her nose in my business, she came by and looked at my plate, passing by. In years past, I kill the left side of the turkey. It's all mine. It's just all mine. Legs, wings, what? Get what I want right then, and then have a plate. Have a plate. Set aside for later. One of my favorite things is foil paper. My family will tell you, foil paper is a good idea. Be that as it may. So you don't have to overdo it. You don't have to overindulge. Just feel that middle portion of that plate. You know you don't even feel great. You don't feel great when you overdo it anyway. You feel you don't get sick, because gluttons don't get sick off of overdoing it. They feel uncomfortable. And they have all kinds of, watch this. This is what I'm talking about. Gluttons have all kinds of little medicines to deal with overeating. Medicines where they have commercials that tell you, go ahead over and overindulge, and go ahead and overeat. Here's something for you, Rolaids, and here's something for you, some kind of indigestion, some kind of medication. They got that for you. For when you overdo it. They know you're going to overdo it, so here you go. Here's some pills for you. Our whole society has accommodated the sin of gluttony. So the saints of old, God's people, they were not content. If we are honest with ourselves, we will admit that much of our gluttony stems from a lack of contentment. Just not satisfied. Always want more. Now you know you're a glutton when you fix a plate, and then you fix another plate of the same food for later. You know you are something else. As my dad and mom used to say, you're something else. I don't know what it else is, but they say you're something else. Beloved, we are not content with our portion size, and we want seconds. Some of us want thirds. Our eyes are way bigger than our stomachs, and so we got folks today doing something God never told them to do, cutting their stomachs and putting bands around their stomach. God has never told you to do that. And by the way, you're not solving the gluttony problem. You're not dealing with the root of the problem. God wants you to keep your stomach as it is. He just wants you to stop putting so much in it. And if you're going to get to that point, you got to deal with the sin of gluttony. One great producer, movie producer, had the band thing put on, and he's still fat. A famous weatherman. He did the little band operation, and he's still fat and got a small neck. That God never intended for you to do that to your body. And it doesn't work out. Many people have had to go out and go back and get that taken out and redone and all of that foolishness. You look funny. Many have talked about how they get the little band around their stomach and they poop on themselves. You know why? Because they're still gluttons. You're still trying to stuff too much, and that happens. Or you throw up. One producer, I don't want to name his name because he's embroiled in a bad situation right now. He overdid it at a party and almost died. And he's still fat. Why? Because we're not dealing with the root of the problem, and that is gluttony, the sin of gluttony. We are not content with the foods we have on hand, or the foods that we need. After you enjoy your Thanksgiving, my beloved, and I'm right there with you. In fact, we have a steak in the oven right now that I'm going to enjoy after I preach, that my daughter's bought for me. And you best believe I'm going to eat that. Whenever my daughter's in it, when my children buy me something, I'm obligated to eat it. I have to do that. I can't say, oh, no, No, I'm going to enjoy that, and you should too. Today and tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday. And even a little bit, get you a turkey sandwich on Monday. But Tuesday, you need to go back and be content with a salad and some vegetables. And you probably ought to go all week long, and with the exception of some fish, go all week long eating vegetables. Oftentimes we want something different when we can be content with such things as God has provided for our health and for our good. Beloved, we are not content with breakfast, lunch, and dinner often. We want snacks in between and a late night dessert. If we are going to conquer the sin of gluttony by the grace of God, we must also conquer the sin of discontentment. The Bible talks about our eyes never being satisfied. And not only do you have some overweight people not content, we got many skinny people who are not content in other ways. Never satisfied. Never happy. A sin which, as we will soon see from God's response to the children of Israel, is not taken lightly. Beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, next time we will continue looking at what this passage tells us about God's plan for man's eating habits. And don't you know that God has a plan for everything in our lives? Including how we eat. We just can't eat how we want to. We need to do it his way. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, and how you, in such a sweet and loving and gracious way, you're dealing with those of us who are committing the sin of gluttony, and some who never even thought it was a sin. And so, Lord, we thank you for how your Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts and changing us slowly but surely, because you want us to be able to have the testimony that you want us to have before a dying and lost world. You want us to be true disciples, Christians who practice discipline in every area of our lives, so that we can win some to Christ. Lord, help us to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, before I leave you, allow me to share a few practical things with you that can help you. I have never been the kind of preacher who raises the problem but does not give a solution. To me, there's no need in preaching if you're not going to, yes, address the problem, but have a solution to the problem. So in the Rave Diet book and lifestyle, Mike Anderson begins sharing his third rule for a healthy lifestyle, which is no vegetable oils in your food. Don't use vegetable oils. He writes, strictly speaking, vegetable oils are part of the refined foods group because they contain no fiber, they're devoid of nutrients, and they're 100% fat. Although I say vegetable oils because these are what are mostly consumed, he said, I mean any oils, that is nut oils, coconut oil, etc. Now, we are going to continue looking at the health benefits of intermittent fasting. Those of you who have gone on the 21-day fast or the 7-day fast or the 14-day fast or the 10-day fast or whatever you did, you have noticed that fasting has a way of breaking that hold that food and the sin of gluttony has on us. I know you have seen that and you sense that. So we're going to, after Thanksgiving, implement this new approach called intermittent fasting. And I'm going to share some things with you from the fasting, intermittent fasting 101 information, the ultimate beginner's guide. They go on to say, heart health, intermittent fasting may reduce LDL cholesterol, blood triglycerides, inflammatory markers, blood sugar, and insulin resistance. These are all risk factors for heart disease. Cancer. Animal studies suggest that intermittent fasting may help prevent cancer. I believe it. Brain health. Intermittent fasting increases a brain hormone called BDNF and may aid the growth of new nerve cells. It may also protect against Alzheimer's disease. Anti-aging. Intermittent fasting can extend lifespan in rats. Studies show that fasting rats live as much as 36 to 83% longer. Now keep in mind that the research is still in its early stages. Many of the studies were small, short in duration, or conducted in animals. Many questions have yet to be answered in higher quality human studies. But anybody who has fasted down through the years, you know, you feel better. After those first few days, you have more energy. And you know you look better. Your skin changes. You have a brightness about your skin. Impurities come out of your system. Your eyes are whiter. And so many good things happen through fasting. So we want to encourage you after Thanksgiving celebration to implement intermittent fasting and a healthy, good diet. You can use any of the diets you want to use if that's what you want to do. You can use Weight Watchers. You can use Nutrisystem, whatever. That's all well and fine and dandy. But you need to include fasting as well. You can do Monday and Tuesday. I plan on doing Monday and Tuesday every week fasting. Or you can just eat one meal a day in the morning and then fast until the next morning or however. There are many different ways you can do that. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together today. And Lord, help us to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. And then, Lord, help us at the same time to be mindful of what you have taught us during the fast and during this time through your holy word. And help us to have a plan after Thanksgiving to make sure we keep the weight off and continue to lose weight by avoiding the sin of gluttony. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.